You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Jaguar fans? This is your man, Tony Wiggins, coming at you today on Tuesday with another episode of Locked On Jaguars. Got a good show for you today, but I got to tell you first that the sponsor for today is Rock Auto. That's right. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. It's nothing like reliability. Nothing like reliability. And the Jaguars will have to depend on reliability this year if they're going to achieve their goals. And we can talk today a little bit about what those goals are. We'll do that in the first segment, and how important it is for guys to be yoked a certain way, and why I think the Jags basically got off to a really good start with that this year. Segment two, I was discussing this earlier with another podcast that will air on Wednesday, the likely trade scenarios, who would involve. There's a trade scenario that I see could possibly happen that could benefit Jacksonville in a number of ways, and I'll let you know what that is. It's not about what they'll get this year, but it's about who, what they'll be giving up to get something for the future. The other thing is I got this strange feeling that I'll talk about in the third segment about who I believe the number one receiver is going to be on this team and why that has some ramifications for someone else moving forward. But first, you talk about being evenly yoked. And for a team in their first year, when a coach takes over a team in January, and the evaluation process and the free agency is a month away, and that process is already in an abbreviated form because of COVID-19 protocols, it's very, very difficult for you to get the chemistry that you want as a club. And I think the Urban Meyer and the Jaguars have done a really, really good job of doing that, because they have some built-in things working for them, and then the way that they built their staff and the way that they went about it really, really helped them, and I'll explain. So you take over a franchise, and you have approximately a month before free agency starts, and you have an evaluation process that's shortened and not what it used to be, and you're not going to really retain any of the scouting staff, so you're kind of up against it, right? So you wonder, how can you get guys that are yoked the way that you want them to be? And what I mean by that is, when you look at the successful teams around the NFL, they know who they are, and they draft people and sign people that fit their program. I don't think there's any question that the team that does that better than anybody has over the years have been the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then second after that, probably the Baltimore Ravens. They know who they are. They know what they like. They're evenly yoked. And Seattle has done a real good job of that over the years. If you put Beast Mode, Doug Baldwin, Richard Sherman, who we're all hoping the best for, Cam Chancellor, the safety, Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, if you put them all in a room, shook them up, and turned the light off, and you had to identify who was who, you probably wouldn't be able to do it, because you can't differentiate. They're all the same dude. They're all the same dude. And there's nothing better for a team than to have guys that are all yoked up the same when they get off the aircraft and when they walk out on the field, because you know exactly what you're going to get, and it lends you to have a really, really good identity. So how were the Jags able to do that? One way was Urban leaned a lot on his current staff. He got guys in, and those guys brought guys with them that had certain characteristic traits. Darrell Bevell did it when he got Jones and Agnew, both from Detroit. Joe Cullen did it when he got Jihad Ward, and he brought him in. And the thing is he was able to identify certain characteristics and traits. They used guys around the league that they knew. Another way that they did it was by hiring college guys and not being so far removed from the college game. Urban was able to really, really know and identify kids that he recruited out of high school. So there was no need to fret over the fact that you couldn't really take a deep dive into these guys' personalities because of the abbreviated or the sort of the process that had been cut short by COVID-19 and the protocols. when you got a head start on it, because the bottom line is you were at Ohio State when these kids were seniors and juniors in high school, and you recruited a lot of them. So you already knew the background. And not only did he do that, Charlie Strong and Chris Ash, guys that had come from the college game that had head coaching experience, they drafted dudes that these guys recruited and that they knew. Josh Lapoy, the defensive tackle, the defensive line coach, same thing. They had guys on the radar that they knew of these dudes. And even some of the guys in the quality control and in the back office on Urban staff had the same. Chris Lovo had the same thing. And Fernando Lovo, I mean, had the same thing along with Ryan Stamper. They were guys that knew the personalities and the makeup of the guys in the draft. And then the coaches, the NFL coaches, knew the personality, the makeup, the work ethic, and the type of people that they wanted on this team. So what could have been a disadvantage for most teams ended up being a plus for Urban Meyer and his staff. And kudos to Urban for delegating that authority and using assistant coaches when it came to personnel matters, because most teams don't do that. I don't know if you guys know, but most teams that when it's a personnel issue, most teams are so busy coaching, especially the teams that make it to the playoffs. Generally, before free agency and the draft process, especially free agency, those guys have like 2 weeks. If you're going to make a deep run into the playoffs, 2 weeks to really get brought up to speed by the scouting department on who's available. NFL coaches don't even watch college football very much during the season. They just don't have time. So they don't even know about a lot of these draft picks or guys coming out until right before that evaluation process. And sometimes the assistant coaches don't have a say in anything. Assistant coaches, of course, they want you to go out and get them a body or two, but for the most part, they're not sitting here clamoring and telling you to get this guy or get that guy. Sometimes they don't have that type of input. Sometimes they're not even allowed in those rooms. Urban changed that this year. He really leaned heavily on his coaches that knew the pro personnel from around the league, and then he leaned heavily on his own knowledge and the knowledge of the other assistant coaches when it came to getting the knowledge and the in-depth background of these kids that he's known since high school. I really think, much like Jimmy Johnson and much like Pete Carroll, that that's going to help him. That's going to help him. And it's going to soften that blow that this team would have had they obviously not been able to do that and have that in their bag. It softens the blow of them being new, and it allowed them to get like-minded kids with like-minded work ethic, like-minded personality, and I think that's a huge step, especially coming out of the gate. All right, so in segment number two, we're going to talk about likely trades that the Jaguars could make and why they would do things to bolster their team. What do they need? What could they possibly try to hope to gain? Or what could they give up to gain something for the future? It's a lot to think about. And we'll go all up and through there and get all of that stuff out to you here today on Locked On Jaguars, and we'll do it in just a second. I got to tell you about BetOnline, man. BetOnline is the place you need to go to get your bets on these games. I'm telling you, you want to fatten your pocket up and you want to do it with the best knowledge you could possibly do. Bet online, because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs. Baseball, what's left of basketball, are they going to end it tonight? Will the Bucks end it? Who knows? UFC and MMA is on the docket also. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the championship. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today on your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code, which is Locked On. One word, Locked On. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Before the next pitch or tip-off, head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up test information. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code Locked On. All right, man, rolling along and rolling right through, as they say, going all up and through there here on Locked On Jaguars on a Tuesday. Likely trade scenarios and what could the Jaguars be looking for? I think the roster's pretty set with the 90 that they have now. They definitely won't do anything in the secondary. They probably got so much competition and bodies that they already I believe at least 7 or 8 of those slots with guaranteed money are all full. So you're going to have a bunch of guys fighting for those last couple of positions. I think wide receiver, they're pretty much set unless something jumps out at them. But, you know, guys – Anybody that would really excite them, guys like that don't get released at this point during the training camp. So, you know, the closest thing was the availability of Julio Jones. But outside of that, I don't anticipate the Jaguars doing anything in that area. Offensive line, you always are prepared to get a big guy. Whether you need him or not, you're going to take a look at it. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a look-see at Geno Atkins on the defensive line, even though three technique isn't necessarily something that they need at this point. He's a Hall of Famer, and the guy can play, and you're probably not asking him to be and do all of the things that he used to. But whenever you get a guy in the trenches, it's always something that you look forward to. The pass rushers don't come a dime a dozen. They're not usually free at this point. The veterans are not usually out there. Could they take a look at Melvin Ingram? Maybe, or something like that. But that's not a trade scenario because he's a free agent. What could the Jaguars possibly trade for at this point? I don't think anything is something that they'll actually move picks for or anything like that. But there could be trades that allow them to give up something. And now we get to the point that I want to make. I think I mentioned it earlier, but if Walker Little comes into camp and he is just too good for you to keep off the field, I can see the Jaguars finding a thirsty team that either thinks that they're close and they have an injury or two in training camp. Say like the Philadelphia Eagles, if they get involved in some sort of trade for Deshaun Watson and feel like they need to fortify their offensive line, could you possibly, if Walker Little plays well, call the Eagles and say, "You know, we got this guy under this franchise tag named Cam Robinson. You could probably win that division if you play your cards right. And you might need a left tackle to protect the blind side of said Deshaun Watson." I probably don't see the Jaguars making a move for a team inside of the division, but they could make a trade for someone in the AFC. Say if the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose offensive line has been depleted by attrition and has been depleted by just them not drafting well and guys retiring, they call Jacksonville and say, "Hey, man, what y'all want for Cam Robinson? I'll give you a second-round pick for him." If Walker Little comes to camp and does well, I can see that happening. I can see them at some point before the trade deadline moving Cam Robinson if Walker Little steps up. So this goes against everything that everyone said when people were like, "Don't use a first-round pick on a left tackle," because they didn't want a rookie left tackle protecting the blind side of a rookie quarterback. And I said, nonsense. If he can play, he can play. And now by default, it may be a situation where the best offensive lineman on your team is a rookie, and you didn't spend the first-round pick. You spent the mid-second-round pick on him. And it might turn out that you might get that thing that you absolutely were afraid of in the first place. A rookie protecting the blind side. Those are the same people that didn't have a problem. They wanted Penei Sewell to get drafted by Cincinnati. They had no problem with a rookie left tackle protecting the blind side of a second-year quarterback who's coming off a major knee injury. So sometimes some of these things that people think and worry about really don't matter. Like, who cares if it's a rookie? I don't want a rookie protecting my veteran quarterback either, if that's the case. But at some point, you know, you're going to draft a rookie offensive lineman. Or a rookie offensive lineman, he has to play, especially on a bad team. If he's the best player on the field, what, are you not going to play him because he's a rookie? I don't think it makes much sense. But what does make sense is the Jaguars maximizing their chance to improve their chances of getting higher and more picks. Stockpile those picks, man. If it turns out that the Jaguars had a really good draft, you really, really want to get to the draft every single time and let them do what they're very good at doing. And that's talent evaluation. if that's the case. But all of this is contingent on the fact that Walker Little has to be not Walker Little, but Walker Big. He has to play big in the preseason and in training camp. He has to, for this scenario to go down, it has to be like, coach, you got to play me. And he doesn't have to say that. He won't utter that at all. What will happen is his play will say, you got to put him on the field. And if that occurs, there's a home run pick for this team, and they can maximize that and not lose Cam Robinson for nothing by finding a team that's thirsty for a left tackle and making a trade before the trade deadline. That's one thing that I wanted to point out. The other thing that I wanted to point out is I got a gut feeling that DJ Chark will not be the number one receiver for this team. And if he's not the number one receiver for this team, will he accept money as a number two after this year is over with? And this isn't a negative story. This isn't. I'll tell you why it's not negative. Because if he's not number one, that means he's not number one because somebody else is. So that's the positive. It's not anything against DJ Chark at all. But this is more about who I believe is going to be the darling of this offense this year and who I believe is absolutely going to end up being the guy that everyone thinks Chark should have been. And like I said, it's not negative. It's all positive. Who am I talking about? I'll tell you in the third segment here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, man, you got to be willing to save time and money when using Rock Auto. Now, who doesn't want to do that? Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? All right, I'll give you an example. Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. What? We encourage all of you to go to rockauto.com right now. Go there, and right now you'll see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. All right, man, talking about putting it all together, have you seen Laviska Shenault in person? We want to talk about put together? He's put together. He also can run after the catch. He catches everything. And after he catches everything, he's very, very hard to tackle. And he's fast. And he's big. And he's strong. Good health, I think, is the only thing that could keep Laviska Shenault from being the number one option this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars at wide receivers. That's not a knock on DJ Chark. I think DJ Chark is great. But I think Laviska Shenault has superstar potential written all over him. And I do believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars will find a way to get him the ball every single chance they can. He is going to be a downfield receiver, but he'll also be that player that everyone thinks Urban drafted Travis Etienne to be. And that's that guy that has to absolutely have touches because he'll make magic every single time he touches the ball. He'll actually make guys like Etienne even better. That being said, if Laviska Shenault ends up being the number one receiver on this team, as I anticipate, that means DJ Chark won't be, because you can't have two number ones. But what you can have is a guy who understands his role, who loves the community, who says, you know what, I'll be the yin to your yang and I'll stay here. But if you do that, you're going to take a haircut in the pocket. Now, if this team is good, DJ Chark doesn't have to go out and catch 100 balls for 1,200 yards in order to get paid. Teams pay a lot less for that, for guys who do less than that, rather, in the offseason. So I think he's going to have to make a choice. Do you want to have illusions of grandeur and be the number one player on a team that isn't very good somewhere else and get a little bit more money? Or do you want to stay here and continue to form the receiving core and be a nice duo for the quarterback, for Trevor Lawrence moving forward? But make no mistake about it, I am making a proclamation that the number one guy that everybody will be thinking about, and when I say everybody, I mean the opponents from the other team, when this year's over, it'll be LaVisca Chenault. And like I said, this is not a knock on DJ Chark as much as it is a salute to who I think DJ Chark, I mean, LaVisca Chenault has a chance to be as a football player. The only thing that could prevent it, I think, is not staying healthy. So that's one of the things I want you guys to look out for when training camp starts. I want you to look out for who is the guy that they have a natural gravitation towards. And it's not like a coach has to choose. Okay, he's number one, he's number two. I think that happens organically by itself. And I think it happens between a coach, a quarterback, and those players. I think when somebody's going to be the number one, it is almost undeniable and you can't help it. You don't have to pick and choose. That number one receiver chooses you. You don't choose him. You don't just assign something to someone. They earn it. And I think as good as Chark can be, I think LaVisca Chenault has a higher ceiling. I really, really do. And I think there's a desire to make sure that he touches the ball. And that's the difference. When you have to make sure the guy, if you want to win, he has to touch the ball. I think that's Chenault. I don't think that's Chark. I think it's DJ. I mean, LaVisca. That's my opinion. I might be in a minority, but that's just the way I feel. I think a natural thing that happens is, and this is what happens when competition and iron sharpens iron, that somebody ends up being that guy. To me, this year, it will be LaVisca Chenault. I'll tell you who the guy is on a daily basis on Monday through Friday. That guy is Peter Bukowski on the Locked On Today podcast. You can hit the Locked On Today podcast, and guess what you're going to get? You're going to get the news and notes from around the world of sports, not just football, and it's going to be 20 fast minutes every single morning. You can get it on your way to work and understand that you'll know everything that's going on in the world of sports because Peter Bukowski stays in tune with the local experts on those stories. Tune in to the Locked On Today podcast and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, especially on the Odyssey app. We'll see you guys again tomorrow. Make sure that you take care of each other, like I always tell you here on Locked On Jaguars. And, of course, we thank you for tuning in, as always, because without you, there is no us. And it's your daily podcast for Jaguars coverage because it's your team every day. All right, take care, you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.